The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Second hour here, Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode, Mark Howard, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will. And we are talking some Titans, some preseason Titans. 34-3 win, Mark, over the Super Bowl champion Bucks. I was in the stadium. It was a very good crowd. They did not have a lot to cheer about. I actually felt bad for them from the start because they were in for a night of, you know, Kyle Trask and O.J. Howard dropping passes and things like that, and a lot of guys who won't matter at all, of course, for that team. It's the same thing true of the Titans, although the Titans have had a lot of participation from defensive regulars. I believe I counted up seven guys I believe will start. And I tell you what, I'm not discounting Elijah Molden either. But it's interesting hearing Mike Vrabel after the game and then even yesterday. You know, of course, most of the talk with Mike Vrabel was about COVID-19. What does this mean? And he, you know, you may be right. It'll be interesting to see on Jim Schwartz. I don't know. That makes sense because he doesn't, you know, Jim Schwartz has been very, very under the radar so far. Very under the radar. You don't really notice him out there.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and I think that's how he wants it.
Yeah.
But it would make sense, I think, because then everyone else can kind of keep doing their stuff. And then, but that'll be interesting. But regardless, Vrabel, something that's really coming out here, especially the last couple of days, is like he's really excited about the defense just in terms of the collective approach, you know, the pressure, maybe still not what they want, but, you know, tackling. Aggression, getting hands on footballs, being opportunistic. He's excited about how a lot of guys are playing. You know, the question always is, okay, but the guys who are doing that are not guys who are going to be out in the field for the most part. In many cases, now, like I said, seven starters start the game, but a lot of what we saw Saturday night was reserves. So how much do you buy into just one side of the ball like that, collectively playing well and having any sort of transfer to when it matters?
Well, as you know, and like I said, you know, you're at practice every day. So one of the odd things about this team is that the players who have really shined in practice haven't necessarily stood out in games. But, you know, you look, you know, for instance, in the secondary, and, you know, Molden, sooner or later, is going to be their slot guy, it seems like. But you're concerned about Christian Fulton, you know, who to me is still inconsistent at best. You know, Caleb Farley looked like a guy who was playing his first game in a while. So we'll give him some grace. And then, you know, you look at inside linebacker. You know, will David Long, you know, take snaps away from Rashawn Evans, you know, whose option year wasn't picked up? That to me, you know, is kind of interesting. And then, you know, you've got, you know, who's the fourth rush linebacker going to be? You know, John Simon, again, flashed. He showed ability against the run and the pass. And, you know, they've got, you know, Harold Landry, of course. I'm not a huge Harold Landry guy. I still think he's a one-trick pony, even though, you know, he can get stuff done with that. You know, Dupree, obviously. You know, Weaver, you know, kind of leveled off a little bit. And then after that, you know, you've got Simon. But it looks like, you know, Roberson and Wyatt Ray are likely the odd men out at rush linebacker. So, yeah, there are a lot of question marks there.
Yeah, no, I'll see. So I think you hit on one thing that we've seen in two preseason games that I think actually really can transfer, and that is David Long. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, look, Rashawn Evans has had a role on third down. I think David Long, the way he is playing, he's worked hard on pass coverage, but, you know, he had a big moment in pass rush the other in a blitz the other day too. I think he and his speed are going to be a factor. I think Rashad Weaver will be too in some way, but I agree with you. Obviously, he was the story of the first game, not as effective the other night.
Well, and you know, we talked about Naquan Jones. Kyle Pico looks like he could end up being the fourth D lineman because he can play inside and outside. The other question I wanted to ask you, and because of the way that Beasley looked at quarterback, do you think John Robinson would consider trading Logan Woodside to Atlanta for a draft pick, knowing how much Arthur Smith likes him, or do the Titans value Woodside so much that they want to keep him? And remember, you claim a guy on waivers, you got to keep him on your roster, you know, for 3 weeks. You know, that's another aspect of this, you know, because, you know, right now you look at wide receiver. Do you cut Des Fitzpatrick, who to me is not even in the top seven, but do you keep him because you traded up to take him in the fourth round, or do you risk cutting him and bringing him back on your practice squad? So a couple of questions I had for you driving over.
Well, that's a great question. I'm at Barkley.
Or Barkley, Beasley.
Yeah, you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a great question because, and that's, in fact, I think it actually was Kaharski in the elevator from the post game. He was like, uh-oh, McCarron went down tonight. You know what that means. I mean, it absolutely, you think about Arthur Smith, and we've already seen Arthur Smith likes bringing in guys he knows from this franchise if he can, and I think he absolutely would grab Logan Woodside if he were exposed on waivers. That's the idea that Logan Woodside could fetch a draft pick. That's quite something. But you know what? There is trust with him, and I think, you know, for people who have been watching these first two preseason games, I think you can see, you know, what the Titans see in him. I mean, he's really developed into a competent, I think, backup quarterback in this league. And I also think it's become interesting. I mean, Barkley is challenging him like Trevor Siemian never did. And certainly, like, I mean, I thought DeShone Kizer was going to, and then he certainly didn't. Barkley, it's pretty impressive to come in as quickly as he has and, you know, grasp this playbook and look efficient out there. So, well, that's an interesting situation.
And they obviously felt like they were serious about Barkley because they started him. Now, the fact of the matter is Barkley has been, you know, sort of available to teams around the league. So if the Titans cut him and decided to bring him back on the practice squad, that wouldn't seem to be a big deal. But like I said, I mean, Logan Woodside, probably only to Atlanta, you know, maybe could have the kind of value that Arthur Smith really wants him, and maybe he fetches a later round pick, but a pick nonetheless. GMs love those picks. You know, is John Robinson considering that?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. Yeah, you know, if not, and I think, hey, it's worth a thought if you feel good now about Barkley. And you're right. That's the thing to keep in mind with Barkley is, I mean, he's been around this league,
yeah,
right? I mean, a lot of people have said, nah, thanks, no thanks. But, I have been impressed with him. If there's no trade that you're mentioning there, I think Barkley would have to still well outperform Woodside to be the two.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not there yet, and I don't know that he'll get there. Again, he's made it interesting. Good for him. But I just think Woodside is one of those players on this roster that I just think is very trusted, but also I think is very liked by the coaches. And I just think that's going to be hard to uproot. And like you said, you know, if you flip it around and you keep Barkley and expose Woodside, well, there's one franchise you feel like really might jump in there. Other way around, are you concerned about someone, and if someone does grab Barkley, is that the end of the world? No. It'd be great to have him on your scout team, basically on the practice squad, like some of these receivers I think will be. And then, your Des Fitzpatrick question, it's really interesting. I agree with you. I've got to do a 53 for tomorrow for The Athletic, and I'm struggling with that one because, I feel like what we saw with Racy McMath the other night was he didn't play any offense. What that tells me, and I could be misreading it, but what it tells me is the Titans are just going to hope to get him on the practice
squad. Caught him and sneak him on the practice squad. Yeah, absolutely.
But with Des Fitzpatrick, he had a touchdown. Good for him. Vrabel talked about how an early rep, he missed a block or was weak with a block. They were unhappy. I think that's been one of the things with him. But he had a better block later.
It's been a crazy, some years, Joe, as you get some surprises at certain positions. And Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers have both been pleasant surprises for the Titans, which is why Mason Kinsey, and I love the way you stated it on Twitter. Some people, are falling over themselves to get Kinsey on the roster, and he's looked good. But the problem is, you got to be careful when you start evaluating guys who play in the second halves of preseason games.
Yes.
Because Kinsey is a step slow. He's smaller. The Titans wanted to get bigger and more athletic at wide receiver. He doesn't really seem to fit the profile of what they're looking for at that position. But you said so-and-so did a lot to enhance his chances of making the team. So did so-and-so, and Mason Kinsey got some good video for himself.
Yeah. I mean, look.
it's absolutely true.
I mean, he doesn't. It's not in another camp. There are other teams out there. Like, if Mason Kinsey were with the Detroit Lions right now, I'd like him to make the team,
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there are other. This is just not the year. And in a lot of years, it is the year to be trying to make the Titans as a receiver. This is not it. And Mason Kinsey's not going to be on the active roster, but he's been a great story, and I think he absolutely. I think the Titans would love to have him on the practice squad, and he may get out there and help himself. Again, Khalif Raymond a few years ago didn't do much with the Giants, but he did enough for the Titans to notice him. Someone in the Titans org noticed him. What happened? They brought him over, and he made plays for that team. That could happen to Mason Kinsey, but he's not going to be on this active roster.
Well, and I also think too. His numbers look good, and yeah, he caught the ball coming out of the backfield. But Sargent, I don't think is going to be on this roster either. I just don't see it. They like Jeremy McNichols, as you wrote, I believe. Jeremy McNichols, they trust in pass pro. He can run the ball a little bit. Beware of running backs who excel in the third and fourth quarters of preseason games. You can get a little bit over the top on them, and traditionally they don't make the roster.
You can, but actually I'm a little interested in Sargent. We're gonna pick that up on the other side. Talk about three players who are rising, three who are falling after Saturday's game here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, here talking Titans, and we're going to just breaking down the 34-3 win over Tampa Bay. Get your hotel rooms in Los Angeles, Titans fans. How could you not? How could you not take this as a Super Bowl guarantee, right?
Yeah.
I think it was a useful week for the Titans because obviously two practices against those
one guys. Good, one bad, right?
One good, one bad, which is totally predictable.
Yeah.
For one thing. But also, hey, I mean, the Bucs had all their guys out there. In those practices Wednesday and Thursday. The Titans still missing a lot of guys. And I think this week, Mark, one thing I'm certainly looking for is are people starting to come back into the fold here? You mentioned the offensive line earlier. Haven't seen Ben Jones in a while. Haven't seen Aaron Brewer once. It's all Daniel Munyer, and that hasn't been very good at center. Saffold's kind of been in and out. Haven't seen much Nate Davis. You're seeing Questenberry and Sombrello, some depth develop, but, I feel like it is important to get those guys working. And then, of course, Julio Jones will be the top of mind for a lot of fans. And Mike Vrabel was asked about him yesterday and basically was like, I don't know, you know, if he's going to participate this week. But in the meantime, I came up with kind of 3-3 for Saturday. You know, three players who I think really took a step forward, and I'm talking step forward to help this team, and three who went the other way. Okay, so I am going – let's just start with Sargent because I think it's very interesting. Mekhi Sargent, I hear what you're saying on, you know, second half running backs or whoever in this league. You got to be careful. But I'm going to tell you right now, Mekhi Sargent is a more effective, explosive ball carrier than Jeremy McNichols. He is absolutely more talented with the ball in his hands than Jeremy McNichols. So if you're judging him like that, I'm picking Mekhi Sargent over Jeremy McNichols every time. I love how he runs the ball, and we've seen this in practice all through camp. He is a very physical – I think actually Glennon tweeted this out. 67 of his 76 yards was after the contact, something like that. I mean, he was impressive. He's been impressive. The question with him is, it's what you said, pass pro. There's trust for McNichols. And at this point, I would still favor McNichols because Brian Hill to me is and I'm going to put him in the other category, on the falling category, although it's kind of been that way for a while. But I think you saw the contrast the other night. I mean, Brian Hill's not going to make this team. He just hasn't really made much of an impact. I thought that was a nice pickup from the Falcons. I don't see it. But McNichols, there's trust. Can Sargent, as a rookie, earn the kind of trust where if Darrington Evans is hurt again and they need a third down back, they feel like they can put him in? And then there you go. You shook your head, and I agree. I mean,
well, Darrington Evans is making us crazy.
Yeah. No, don't doubt. I mean, Darrington Evans, it's been a brutal start for him on the health front. And anyone who watched the early stages of that game in Atlanta saw what we've seen in camp. He has a different gear than everybody else. And, you know, he was going to have a big night and show why he's going to be a big part of this offense, and then he gets hurt again, and that's a problem. I feel like in a pinch, if you need someone to make some plays for you, I would much rather have Sargent than McNichols. It's just the pass pro aspect. So I still consider him. I'm not discounting him, though. Like you know, a Kinsey, I'm saying, hey, nice practice squad guy. Sargent probably is going to be on the practice squad this year, but I'm not counting him out yet. Another guy on the rise, clearly, obviously, Elijah Molden. You know, Elijah Molden was all over the place. He got basically the whole game the other night. I mean, I'm sure you saw, you know, the sack. I don't know that I've seen that. A guy basically go underground, go under two blockers, pop up and get a sack. But also just, you know, he blew up a screen, just tackling well, sticky coverage on those short routes. He looks like a slot corner.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's not off the charts in terms of his physical ability, but his foot, you can tell that his football instincts are fantastic. And that's a guy, for those of us who have been here for a long time, you know, you think about Donald Mitchell, you even think about Logan Ryan, you think about Cortland Finnegan, you know, guys who weren't, you know, necessarily very tall, but you know, we're really good football players, and you see that in Molden, and understand what John Robinson and his scouting staff saw.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I agree. The instincts, obviously, he's the son of a. I mean, it's really interesting that, you know, Alex Molden played against Brady. You know,
yeah,
his son now sees Brady, not at least on the practice field last week. That's pretty wild. If you want to get in on this, join us on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I've got one here that actually leads me perfectly into my third player. Definitely need to keep Sargent. Reminds me of Maurice Jones-Drew. And definitely need to keep kicker Ficken. There's my third riser. Sam Ficken.
Well, you had Gostkowski warming up in the bullpen
over
the past 2 months. But
I'm not counting that out either still. But what do you think?
Well, he looks good, but when I see a guy like Ficken, you're concerned if he's a 5 o'clock hitter. You know, what's going to happen when they start counting? And I can't imagine Vrabel's patience to be very long. Ficken looks really good. He made the 58-yarder without a lot of effort, which is
room to spare.
Yeah, exactly. So, Yeah, I mean, you know, right now, poor Tucker McCann gets Wally Pipped in football, but that's the way it looks right now.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's the thing is with Fick, and it's still, again, can you feel comfortable? It's great to know, as Vrabel said yesterday, great to know you can get to the 40 and you can score. But can you feel comfortable, and this is a problem for Gostkowski, that, you know, from 35 to 45, you're going to get it every time. I think, to me, there's more value in that. Just absolutely knowing that, okay, this is a gimme, and it's just hard to know.
Right and now. The only thing that saved Gostkowski when he got off to a slow start here was his resume. You know, that they knew that, you know, he was probably going to, you know, eventually, ascend to the mean and be the guy that we've seen for a lot of time. But with Fickin, you know, right now, there's no reason not to keep him. And the thing that John Robinson loves is that he's going to be cheap, too.
Right. Yeah, look, I mean, McCann, it's brutal for McCann because I think as soon as Fickin arrived, McCann was a little bit better than him in practice. And McCann looked great in Atlanta. You know, he was down the middle. Fickin had almost missed an extra point, and he's kind of been like that here and there. He'll push one that's – you know, problematic, but McCann's looking great. Then he gets hurt. I mean, this is another thing to watch this week. How quickly can he get back out there? Because if he's not going to get out there and Fickin's going to get all these reps and keep, you know, being consistent, then at some point it's going to be hard to uproot him. On the falling side, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, especially in this kicking competition, all you think about with these kickers is their last attempt. You know, and body of work, of course, is important, but, you know, Fickin made a big impression, no doubt, in Tampa.
On the falling side, you know, Dylan Radunz was a guy who I had as a riser coming out of Atlanta. He got a ton of work in that game and a ton of work at right tackle where, look, I mean, that's the spot that they'd like him to start to seize. Joe Tryon beat him up a little bit the other night. And you know, listen, you can have a couple bad snaps and get humiliated like that. It doesn't mean you had an all-around bad game, but I thought in pass protection, it was more than that. He had some issues. Now, I don't know what you think about Pro Football Focus. If you subscribe to the Pro Football Focus grades and whatnot, I mean, John Glennon tweets them out every 5 minutes, so I always am aware of them. But Dylan Radunz is one of the highest-rated players on the Titans team, according to PFF, including – now, his run-blocking grade is very high, which I can buy. They ran the ball pretty well for backup offensive line against a defensive line, but I just thought it was a step backwards still and another example of, you know, rookie offensive lineman, are you really going to be comfortable with him out there?
Well, and plus –
right tackle for you this year?
Yeah.
Or at this point?
Pass rushers are getting under his pads and really at times manhandling him. You know, when I think of Dylan Radunz right now, you think of Nate Davis, who got thrown into the water and struggled, floundered for a while before he found his footing. Are the Titans going to do that with him? I mean, right tackle, that's going to be tough. But, you know, still, again, a guy who only played in one football game last year and at the FBC level. So, you know, I just think that they knew that there was going to be a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah. So look, he's going to get plenty more opportunity. I think, you know, he's someone you can count on being out there Saturday against the Bears, 6 o'clock, Nissan Stadium. I'm really interested to see what else is the plan for this. We're going to get into that next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Time to save cash fast with Nashville's best deals. Right now, you can purchase a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue for only $15, two locations in Hillsboro and Capitol View. Other deals include half off a $25 gift card for Joyland in East Nashville. Get the deals now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard in for Robbie, who is wearing the Mickey ears this week, so we expect some Robbie Stanley Disney tweets all week. I'm counting on that. Michelle Knezovic, intern Will in the studio. And we're talking Titans, let's spin it forward here to Saturday. First of all, we know Mike Vrabel won't be on the practice field this week. We don't know in terms of players on that situation, but you said earlier you feel that you expect to see some Tannehill Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. I would think a series or two, you know, from Tannehill. We've seen the defensive starters, and I think we'll continue to see some of that. You know, Kevin Byard gets in there for a series or two, get him out of there. But what else? What would you like to see? Who are you most interested in seeing? Well, I'll tell you who I'm most interested in is Justin Fields, actually. Like, that's exciting to be able to watch some Justin Fields because I think he could be special, and I can't wait to see how long, Matt Nagy holds on to QB1 Andy Dalton in that situation. But from the Titans' perspective, what are you most interested in this game?
Well, Tannehill, but, you know, we're not going to probably see Julio Jones out there. That just doesn't make any sense at all. The question is, will he practice at all this week? I would like to see as much of the offensive line as possible out there because we haven't seen that either. We know what they don't have. Now let's see what they do. So that's primarily what I'm looking at. And, you know, to me, what we'll see Saturday sort of underlines the reality that this league is going to go back, is going to, again, maybe sooner than later, go to 2 preseason and 18 regular season games. Because these preseason games are a waste of time. They are. Nice to see football. Glad to see the NFL back with fans in the stands and all that. But, you know, beyond, you know, the rookie quarterback, you know, maybe, you know, we've seen with the Jets, and with the Bears, and with Jacksonville, you know. But other than that, other than 3 or 4 teams, we really haven't seen a whole lot.
Well, it used to be different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is the preseason games used to be, you could count on seeing, as a fan, the players you want to see for about a half.
Yeah.
All right? And most of them, I mean, the last game.
It changed rapidly with the younger coaches coming in, if you notice. And I believe Matt Nagy, you know, the coach of the Bears, was one of the first, you know, not to play his offensive starters for the entire preseason. Hey, I can remember with the Titans, you know, when there were 4 preseason games, the last preseason game in Philadelphia, I think it was before the 2000 or 2001 season, where because of the turf at Veterans Stadium, Jeff sat everybody out, and that was radical. And that whole game, and it's kind of funny because we're talking about Logan Woodside and Matt Barkley, that game was all about who was going to win the number 3 spot at quarterback. Was it going to be Billy Volek or Kevin Daft? And Volek won in a knockout because Daft was the incumbent. And that was really the story of the game because otherwise everybody else was sitting out. You know, these preseason games, as we've seen, are superfluous. I mean, they just and especially with the Titans, what we've learned from the time Vrabel got here is that really what you see in practice is almost more important than what you see in the preseason games.
Yeah, no doubt. And Vrabel's very much on the, you know, not willing to risk, which I can't blame any coach for having that outlook. It's just
smart, and you know, and the concept of making the offensive linemen wear knee braces. I get all that. You do not want to lose a starter in a preseason game. That's that now to coaches is absolutely the worst. And they'll do anything they can to avoid it. And sometimes it is unavoidable. Sometimes you do need to get guys out there. But they'll do everything they can to minimize the snap count for these guys and get them in and out and hopefully not injured.
Right. Well, look, obviously you can have the season-ending injury so often going half speed in practice, non-contact.
Yep.
And you think about, as you know, Mark, I mean, these practices used to be so much more contact, so much more physical, really so much more putting players in harm's way. But even without that, I mean, so often it's a freak thing. If you want to get in the conversation, the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. I've got a comment here. Quote, how long has Matt Barkley been with this offensive scheme, if not much time? If he performs better than Woodside in the last preseason game, should he not be number 2? This competition looks like Tannehill versus Mariota. Tannehill had scoring drives while Mariota failed. Well, first of all, I mean, Woodside was, what, 7-for-8 the other night? And he missed one pass. He didn't look great early. It was an interesting – I don't know that I've seen that, by the way. You know, Woodside started, Barkley comes in real early, and then they go back and forth. I don't know that I can recall seeing that as a strategy. But to me, it kind of told me that, you know, first of all, these coaches are really getting a look here at Barkley. I mean, they're – and it's pushing Woodside, of course. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with that characterization that, like, Barkley is blowing Woodside away. I thought it was probably a step forward for him in the competition the other night.
Well, it showed to me that Barkley's got a better throwing arm than Woodside does. And the truth of the matter is, Barkley's been a starter in this league. Not always for good teams, but he has had a modicum of success in a few different places. Which, and to me, he is sort of the prototypical number two. You know, a guy who has had some experience as a number one, but in a pinch could go in there and you don't feel totally, outclassed and without a chance.
Yeah, no, I mean, look. The question is always really like, okay, if Ryan Tannehill or whoever your starter is goes out for, obviously if it's an extended period of time, then probably kiss it goodbye anyway. With, you know, for most teams, don't have good backup quarterbacks. There aren't many people who can play quarterback in the world, right? But if it's a couple weeks, 2-3, can this person come in and cobble together enough good series, manage a game, get you a win? And look. You're right. Barkley has a more of a track record, obviously, by far, in terms of having some success in this league on the field in real games. I still think, though, that Woodside is very highly regarded in this organization, and I think he has proved it every day now for years.
I still think, Joe, one of the things that we're going to see this year with 17 games is the attrition factor. And where it strikes certain teams. And I'm not saying they're not preparing for it, but to me, it isn't talked about enough. You know, people talk about the 16-game season. Even extending it by a game makes it a much tougher gauntlet to run. And in terms of a team's health, by the end of the season, it's going to be interesting to see the effect on teams that play 17 games and then have to, you know, manage a postseason.
Oh, no doubt. Look, I mean, there's, I mean, even with Derrick Henry, again, it's one more game, but I really expect the Titans to have, they'll never confirm any kind of pitch count or anything like that, but to be more mindful of load management throughout the year, because it's not just getting through the 17 games, it's also like you want Derrick Henry to be full bore Derrick Henry in January when you expect to be playing in postseason games. But I mean, so often in this league, the story of a champion even is who wasn't hurt or who was hurt for someone else along the way, right?
Well, the stated aim in a lot of cases, until Mike Martz came along, was to minimize the amount of hits on a quarterback. Why can't that be the case at the other position, running back? And you're right. And you look at Derrick Henry and, you know, you look that he's, you know, almost superhuman in the way that he works out, his regimen, the kind of condition he's in. But the other thing that we've learned, and that is players just don't overnight become less effective. It's a very subtle process. You know, it could be a half a step, a quarter of a step. You lose that, and it translates to diminishing numbers. You know, we saw that with Eddie George. You know, he started getting caught a lot more from behind. You know, he didn't break the runs that he used to. It's going to be interesting to see at what point does Henry hit the wall and how much does Vrabel's load management help him as he progresses through a season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a – I mean, look, I don't feel like he's within view of the wall based on watching him. But as you said, I mean, it can happen fast, and that position is – he delivers more punishment than he takes, but it's still a heavy contact position. That's just – it's even at 6'3", 250.
I think the one good thing about Derrick Henry situation is that at the front end of his career when he got here and DeMarco Murray, you know, was the go-to guy, Henry didn't get a lot of carries his first couple of years. And now the Titans are sort of reaping those benefits, I think, because of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, shoot, he was the number three back for part of a week in his third season, which is an incredible thing about. All right, we come back here on Robbie and Rex Show. It'll be the Rex rant. It'll be a quick one today, but maybe I can get Mark ranting here on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 125 The Game. Welcome back to Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard, Michelle Knezevic playing a beautiful song there.
Wagon Wheel.
Oh, Wagon Wheel. Yep, yep, yep. That's a good choice. Mark, where do you come down on country music?
I like it a little bit.
You like it?
I'm not a huge country guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird, though. I've watched the Garth Brooks biography about five times. So I'm just obsessed with his story. It's an amazing story.
See, country music live, I'm there. Good musicians, great. Just, you know, wouldn't seek it out, basically. But anyway, this is time for the Rex rant. I don't have a lot this week. I need to take a break from complaining about children not doing chores or children not taking Gus and Quinn out for walks and, you know, cleaning up poop in the house. Look, here's another.
I have three dogs, so I live that.
You can relate. I can't just completely ignore what is going on really in society and has been for a long time. And as we look now at this football season, Mark, I mean, it's just, look, it's going to be different. And in some ways, it's absolutely going to be better. But it's going to be another slog this year in football and COVID. And, you know, the vaccine conversations are complicated to an extent. You know, I was visiting, I went to Florida for the game, and I saw my grandmother, who's 93 years old, who thankfully is vaccinated, and I'm vaccinated, so we could be with each other and feel relatively good about doing that. But, you know, she was telling me about a friend of hers. I mean, all of her friends. She has a 99-year-old friend who actually fell this weekend. She had to go help her out. Still driving until recently, her 99-year-old friend. But they have a friend. Yeah, so they all got vaccinated the first chance you get vaccinated, except for one friend of theirs who and it's purely politics. Yeah, and they're just very upset, but she won't do it. So, listen, the vaccine is one thing. I just want to say something really fast on the conversation, and this goes to my county, Williamson County, along with many others. But in particular, we had a very contentious school board meeting.
A little bit.
With, you know, Clay Travis continuing to be a complete moron when he talks about this stuff. But and not understanding that, again, we're talking about not spreading an infectious disease. So when people gather together inside and are close to each other, and then that is how they spread it. And then it gets to adults, and then it gets to people who do die, who don't get vaccinated, who, you know older people who spread it to them. I mean, it's why you do these things. You know, if you want to just focus on the death rate, then that's fine. You can spin it your way. You're a moron. And I just have to say to anyone out there, this is a complicated issue in a lot of ways. But if you are so upset about your child wearing a mask. I don't want my kids wearing masks. Like, you are softer than a freshly powdered baby's butt. I mean, really. Like, I can't imagine anything softer than the way some of these people are acting about their kids putting a piece of cloth over their face for a few hours. That's it. If you'd like to jump in on that, feel free.
Well,
or we can go back to sports.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
It
angers me that this has become politicized, because science has no biases. Science is self-correcting. You know, the criticisms of doctors who have speculated on COVID-19 and haven't been right have been castigated, but people criticizing them seem to fail to understand that nobody really knew the course that this virus was going to take. And when you're in medicine, you know, sometimes you're taking an educated guess. Just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're always going to be right about that. Just as you're not always going to be right about a diagnosis. But It's crazy where they've taken this. And again, I was especially saddened by the passing of Phil Valentine, you know, who was a guy who advised his audience on the radio, and he has, you know, had a substantial following and audience, not to get vaccinated, and put a lot of people in harm's way, in my opinion. Yeah. And that's sad too. And I know Phil was a good guy. He was very nice to me, liked him a lot. But the whole thing, and you know, he dies of COVID-19 and admits at the end, I should have been vaccinated. Yeah. So that, to me, that's all you need to know.
It's heartbreaking. And again, you know, science, like you said, look, we in real time, we're trying to follow these people as they try to learn about this virus. It's actually been incredible. I think science has performed incredibly here. Like, yes, the vaccine in that amount of time, but it's the world's science might coming together to do things that are really extraordinary. But of course they were wrong about things at first, and it's trial and error. And you're, I mean, normally we hear about certain things from science after years of them studying it and figuring it out. And we've had, this has been real time. And then of course we have all the, you know, the internet doctors and whatever, but it's misinformation. It's heartbreaking.
I'm 64 years old, and I remember watching TV last week and seeing that contentious meeting in Williamson County and thinking, you know what? Now I know how society is going to end, because the next virus, or the virus after that, people are going to refuse to be vaccinated for political reasons, or, you know, not to listen to the science. And that could be the end of us. And, you know, I hate to think that way, because I've got kids and I've got grandkids. And it just, it's frightening, but yeah.
Yeah, so it comes up again, you know, obviously, yeah.
My rant was going to be for football announcers to stop calling first-year guys young rookies. With the exception of Chris Winkie, they're all young rookies.
That's a good one,
it's too. It's redundant.
That's a good one, too. On the text line, driven by WillisConnett.com, I have LOL, quote, this is a complicated issue, but if you don't agree with me, you're a moron. Well, I mean, look, it is a complicated issue, and I think the vaccine is complicated in turn, especially early. To me, look, it wasn't easy to just say, hey, wow, this is so fast, let's, you know, let's just go get it. We did. That's because I talked to people who are medical professionals who were like, yeah, it should be safe. But early on, I mean, you don't know. The thing with vaccines is, if there's going to be an issue, it's early. It's very early, and now it's a complicated issue. It's not complicated in terms of, you know, should you wear a mask? Should you do whatever you can to try to minimize the disease? I mean, again, ask people who are at these hospitals who are full, who can't admit people who have serious issues because of COVID patients. That's what we're talking about. But people who want to spin it and really are harming people just infuriate me. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I was so looking forward to, at this time, never talking about COVID again. I mean, I had the mask put away. We all can relate to this. We're all living this together. I just wish that we could be more together on it. And people like Clay Travis are hurting people. I'm sorry, but they are. Anyway, sports.
The toy department of life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, sports, the interesting thing about sports is sports leads the way in a lot of things. I mean, look at the NFL. If society followed the NFL, and I understand the NFL, some of this is because people are putting a hard line down and some people who weren't sure then changed their mind as a result of it. But, you know, the NFL has actually, to me, been very impressive in the way it has gone about this and the results it has gotten. You know, my question is, with this league, with obviously the vaccine not stopping people from being COVID positive, you know, how is that going to look this year? We know about the forfeits if you don't have vaccinated at a certain level, but, you know, how much disruption are we looking at now?
It's hard to say. You know, we all try to make predictions on, you know, where the variant is going to take us. And I've heard, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, you know, the numbers eventually will go down, but, You know, talk to people in Florida. Talk to people in Texas. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm smart enough, you know, to make predictions on this. But, yeah, as far as vaccinations are concerned, I mean, we grew up playing sports with one of the requirements is you had to be vaccinated against certain things.
Right.
This isn't a whole lot different.
No, exactly. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, look, at some point, some people have been saying this from the beginning, like, you have to live with this. You have to move forward. And really, I mean, society is a lot different than it was a year ago in that way, right? But you're going to have to get your vaccine for this. I mean, we've always been flu shot people in my family. I know some people aren't, but I mean, we get the flu shot, and the kids got all the vaccines, and this is going to be another one of them. But I don't like the way that every single thing now has to be seen by too many people. To me, and again, either side, through that lens, I think it's just really damaging.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the misinformation is just crazy. You know, some of the stuff, you know, that people are talking about, like it's fact. And yeah.
Yeah. So there's the rant. We are going to get back into football and back into Floyd Reese, remembering Floyd Reese. We're going to have Corey Curtis next here on Robbie and Rex. So ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.